Hey guys, welcome back to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We are Dave and Ashley Willis, and on this podcast, we undress the truth about sex, intimacy, and lifelong love. And I am super stoked about today's episode. We've got some incredible guests. Ashley's going to tell you about them, but before she sets up and introduces our amazing world-famous guests, I want to give a quick shout-out to those of you who are giving a shout-out to us online. Your reviews are helping people discover this podcast and helping spread the message to strengthen marriages. And I want to read one of these recent reviews that really encouraged us. It says, amazing wisdom and practical advice, 5 stars from PepperDog246. And they go on to say, Dave and Ashley have helped our marriage of 20 years reach its best level ever. I've been listening for just a few months, but have gained years worth of practical tips and advice in the areas of communication, healthy boundaries, and rekindling romance. These two keep even the heavy topics in the forefront and are not afraid to talk about the hard things. Thank you, Dave and Ashley, for the healing you've given our marriage. Keep up the great work. And wow, thank you for sharing that. I mean, that fuels us and just keeps us going. So thank you for all who are listening and sharing and leaving reviews. Sweetie, why don't you tell everybody about these guests? I'm a little bit giddy. I'm kind of geeking out over who we've got here with us today.
I know. I'm so excited. So it is, or they are, Jeremy and Audrey Roloff. Woo-hoo! So we have the Roloffs here. And that name probably rings a bell for many of you, especially if you've been watching the show, TLC show, Little People, Big World. And I love that show. So I am such a fan. I've been watching them grow up, literally, on the screen.
We were watching reruns this morning with our kids.
We were. I love it. And but they have a lot more going on, even besides the show. They have a marriage ministry that's called Beating 50%. They also have a podcast called Behind the Scenes that's wildly popular. And the reason we have them on today is they're going to tell us a lot more about their book, A Love Letter Life. So let's dive in.
Man, we are so excited about our guests today, Jeremy and Audrey Roloff. I've just met them for the first time like 5 minutes ago, but I feel like I've known them forever because I've been a stalker for a long time.
We are stalkers. Yeah. Between, we love it.
Show Little People, Big World, the Behind the Scenes podcast, the new book, A Love Letter Life. I just feel like I know you guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So thanks for finally, you know, had the opportunity to hang out.
Thanks for having us.
Excited to get to know you guys.
Pleasure to meet you guys. Yeah. So.
Awesome.
Good to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about first before we jump into, you know, what you're doing like right now. What is life like with a little one at home? Yeah. How old is Ember now?
19 months. Yeah. Almost 20 months.
Yes.
Yeah.
So. You guys have kids?
Yes, 4 boys. Four. Okay. No little girls.
No little girls. Yeah. Wow.
Four boys.
Wow. Well, we do have Chi-Chi, our Cheweenie, but
that's
she doesn't.
It.
Okay. What's a Cheweenie?
So, yeah. Is that a dog? A Chihuahua wiener dog mix.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Highly recommend it.
Yeah. She's cute.
Yeah.
She is, but she's, you know.
We're
little girls.
Yeah. No. We'd love to get a dog at some point. We're still in that season where we travel a bit. And the cats are just so easy.
They are.
They're we have Pine so the Kitty.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is Ember running everywhere now? Like 19 months, they're taking off.
Yes. Jumping,
she
running.
Is a capable
talking.
Human being. Yeah. She started.
Oh. Lots of words.
Lots of words. Loves
that's
her
so
books.
Sweet.
We're having a lot of fun with her.
Yeah, she's great age.
Well, that it only awesome makes age. Sense that you guys would have like a brilliant overachieving
no.
Of course.
Kid.
No.
Because you guys, I mean, honestly, like it's really wonderful and amazing how much you're doing. It's in God's blessing. You got a clothing line. You've got—
Praise the Lord.
I mean, just ministry, Beating the 50%. You're writing, you're speaking. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like God's blessing all of it.
So,
what's the favorite of all those different kind of things that you're doing? What in there energizes you the most to do it?
Yeah, great question. Mm. So I would say we're, yes, we do a lot, but we ultimately, our hearts are bent toward the Lord and we want to turn people's hearts toward the Lord. And so we just said like, okay, if that's a mission, how do we want to do that? And we just started exploring. So we were just like, well, let's do this and let's do that. And the Lord just kept opening doors. And now we're in a season of like, okay, whoa. Like, there's quite a few things worked. So now what do we want to like
keep? And we didn't have the infrastructure. And we're
what
like,
do we want to keep pressing into? So back to your original question of like, what does life look like right now? Like, yes, we just had a daughter. And so now we're in those stages of like, whoa, things look different. How are we going to, you know, scale, but also do it responsibly and not be so scattered and so unfocused that, you know, we can really zero in on that, on a mission really, really well. So
awesome.
We're having a lot of fun. Yeah. A lot of irons in the fire, like, as we like to say, but
I would say lately though, the our book that just came out is probably our favorite thing. Cause it's the most, we've worked on it longer than we've worked on anything together, and we've worked harder on it than we worked on anything together. And
the book,
we're the most passionate about it, probably.
The book, A Love Letter Life specifically, is like that one project so far that we've put out there that has taken 2 years of work. Mm-hmm. There's so much energy, prayer, tears, laughter poured into it. And it's something we've chosen to do. And it's actually a manifestation of the infrastructure we've built over the past couple of years. So we're having so much fun. Like, we're on tour right now, and it's just been, it's been great. So
I love it. I love it. And tell us more about that. Like, what do you mean by a love letter life?
Yeah.
What exactly does that mean?
Yeah. So, I mean, the literal sense is like we wrote letters and we did long distance.
With a typewriter, man.
With a typewriter.
Old school. Which is true romantic. Awesome.
Yes. So, you know, that's the obvious interpretation of it. But like love letters, think about them. Mm-hmm. They take patience. They're often inconvenient, most of the time inconvenient. They require effort, intentionality, creativity. All of these are qualities that we want our relationship ultimately to reflect. And they're qualities that, you know, the Lord's relationship with us reflect as well. And so we're like, well, how do we do that? Well, letters seemed like the perfect thing. And love letter life, ultimately what we want to do with this book is ignite people to live the story, the love story that they would want read back to them one day.
Yeah.
And love letter life, it's a story. So it just fit. And we thought the title worked. So
Yeah. I love it. And I know you guys did that a lot when you were dating.
Yes.
But now you've been married how many years?
Five years. Yeah. Yeah. So, and to keep the letter writing going, babe, you want to share this? Because this is actually your idea.
So on our honeymoon, we had letters have been a huge symbolism thing in my life personally, just with my mom writing me letters. And then I wrote a letter to my daughter, not knowing I would have a daughter on my wedding day. I wrote a letter to my future daughter on her wedding day.
Wow. That's awesome. I love
and there's a whole crazy story about that in the book. But we still write letters to each other every year on our anniversary and seal them. And then we read them the next year on our anniversary. Yeah. And it's just a cool way to kind of chronicleize the growth of our love and reminisce on the past year and just see the things that we were hoping for a year ago and how God's brought us to now. And it's just been really, really cool thing that we've loved doing. So we always tell people, steal it. Like, if you love the idea, do it. Because it's just been awesome.
And it's a rhythm. It's like a cadence, a yearly rhythm that like one of many that our marriage beats to, right? It like falls in line. And that's just a rhythm that we've decided to like embrace and say like, hey, this is going to be a piece of consistency that, you know, that follows us through years and years and years. And so it's been fun.
Yeah.
Man,
I love it.
I love it. I absolutely...
Well, I mean, it makes me think about, like, I kept track. I have this whole book. Dave and I met my first day of college, and it was the first day of his junior year. Yeah. And he wrote me letters.
Who is that?
Oh, you're so funny. But he wrote me letters, like, and I kept every single one of them, and I have them in this scrapbook. So I'm like, I get the power of that. And it's just, it really does cultivate a richness to the relationship. And it does give you kind of a way to look back on how far God has brought you.
Totally.
And I love, and he still writes me letters in our marriage, and I do somewhat with him. He's not really a card guy, per se, but you do like when I write you things.
You like a waste of money.
Like, it does. Yeah, like, I know. Like, I keep every card.
Who does Hallmark think they are telling me how I feel about you?
Charging me $12 for this.
Get the piece of cheap paper and write the meaningful note on it. That's all you need.
That's the meat. That's the real good stuff right there.
Sticky notes on the mirror. Undervalued.
That's the truth, though. I mean, that's the truth because it's really from the heart. Mm-hmm. And so, like, now that Ember is in the picture, how do you find, because a lot of times we get questions from listeners saying, like, I love my spouse. I want to have a strong marriage, but kids are just, they take so much of me and so much of my mental energy and my emotional energy. Mm. How does that look for you guys?
Yeah. So I will say one thing comes to my mind immediately, and babe, I'll let you jump in on this, but I think, and I don't know, you know, the demographic necessarily that might take to this, but we are so inundated with the most beautiful, highlight reeled, absolutely perfect, you know, demonstrations of love on the internet that like we think we just need to do all that.
Yeah.
And back to what we just said, like literally, if you were to say like every, so we do something called, I don't even know what we call, thankful jar or whatever. For her birthday a long time ago, I bought her a jar. This was like 3 years ago. Every single day, night before we went to bed, I just wrote one thing I appreciated about Audrey on it and said, babe, I today appreciate that you, you know, did this or you did, you know.
And he would read it to me, tell it to me, and then he'd put it in the jar. And it was a year of that. And then this past year, we were
like, 10 seconds, literally 10 seconds. And it's super, super simple. And the jar was by her. But as she watched that jar fill up, so did her heart. You know?
And I knew the last thing I heard before I was going to go to bed was going to be an affirmation from my husband. And it just like,
it softened my heart.
And on a good note.
Yeah, and it grew hers. And so what I will say is like, we think you need to like buy the canoe, the cool truck, go to the river, get the photo. And then that's the way your wife feels loved. It's like, no, like literally pick three super, super simple, attainable, dollar store cheap things because it's not the picture or the thing. It's just the action. And sticky notes on the mirror is a perfect one. A jar by the bed, literally I take printer paper and I rip it up. Mm-hmm. Like it's that simple. And I just keep it in the drawer next to my bed. It is so minute, so easy, but it's just those little things. So back to the point though, with Ember, we used to prize spontaneity as like, if it's not spontaneous,
then
it's
not romantic.
It's not romantic.
Like if it doesn't just happen organically, then we're failing and it's not. And like both Jay and I are also very spontaneous people by nature. Mm-hmm. And we're really spontaneous and adventurous. Like we didn't plan anything. Any of our dates, we just decided where we were going to go in the car on the way somewhere. And now we've had to, obviously, with a kid, you have to plan the babysitter and the time and when you're going to be back and where you're going to go and all of that. So we've just had to be much more intentional. And so we've had to come up with creative ways to be intentional since having our daughter. And
they don't all have to be Instagram perfect, like worthy. Yeah. That's the big point there. But it's tied into a bigger problem, which I think a lot of our book is about and, we speak to, which is this whole concept of, if you can fall into love, obviously you can fall out of it, right? And I think that's a reality that a lot of people don't really, we all know that, but we never say it. When you hear that said, like, think about it. If you tripped into love accidentally, you're tripping out of it, unless you're careful. And if you look at every single successful organization, every single baseball team, sports team, university, you name it, that's successful. What do they all have in common? They all have mission statements, goals, yearly summits, budget, strategy. Why? They've designed success. Yeah, we're all tripping into our marriages with no plan. It's like, no wonder we're seeing the stats we're seeing. It's like, so those little tiny cadences, rhythms that you want your marriage to beat to, those are like foundational and they can be as simple, as cheap and easy as sticky notes on a mirror.
Yeah.
I know I'm dumbing that down, but there's a concept there.
No, it's brilliant. One of the quotes from the book, and I'll read this because this is strong, talking about that mission statement. I think it comes down to this in a lot of ways. True love is something you choose to live out each day through your actions, decisions, and sacrifices. Yeah. And I love how you guys kind of unpack that it's not just a feeling. You know, our culture worships feelings and all these kind of fickle, superficial notions of love. And you guys get to the heart of what love is the way God intended it, what love is the way it's meant to be lived out in marriage, what love is, you know, built on a foundation of friendship, which is a big part of your story, how, you know, you really built a solid foundation of friendship over those first couple of years, really before the romance really even kind of came into the picture. And so what would you suggest for a couple that maybe doesn't have that foundation? Like, because you guys did it right. You really built this solid foundation through intentionality and building great habits right from the start and all this.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, it's really just, it's a beautiful story, but it's also a textbook for a young couple or a dating couple, I think, on how to build that kind of foundation. But a lot of our listeners, they've been married for a while and they're thinking, man, that's fine and good.
Yeah.
But we did it maybe the wrong way. Like we did not build that foundation. We do not have those kind of habits. And so now we want to go back and kind of like reverse engineer our way to having that now. So where do you start? You know, we've been married, we got kids, and we want to do things better than we're doing. So where do you start?
Mm. Yeah.
Well, just one quote came to my mind as you were saying that about like, you know, what if we didn't do it right? Or what if we weren't intentional? And what if we, I think it's in the purity chapter of our book, but it's a Mary Pickford quote, I'm pretty sure. And she says, you can have a fresh start any moment you choose.
So true.
That's good.
I love that.
Like we were talking about the concept of purity, but I think it can relate to anything within marriage. Like you're not too late. You're never too late. You know what I mean? Like you're never too late to be more intentional, creative, and choose faithfulness in your marriage. Like you can always come up with more ways to do that wherever you're at, whether you're 1 year married and you feel like you did it wrong or 15 years married and you feel like you did it wrong. And
And the moment you decide to make a step forward or a change or a pivot or as the Bible calls a repentance of your ways, you know, like that's what actually makes the history such a good story. That's what makes the story is the moment after you decide to initiate the change. And I mean, what's the story of Jesus in the whole Bible? It's like, come as you are, but don't stay as you are.
Yeah.
It's like that. There's a moment there. In the same way our marriage is like, okay, we decided to come one in a moment. It's the process of becoming one that makes the marriage and ultimately makes us more like Christ. So everyone has to decide when that moment is. And I think it's just like, okay, And then there's, you know, there's obviously a billion different ways on how you want to move forward. But first, it's obviously the decision. Mm-hmm. And like, I guess one, a practical thing I would say, because this is all good and talk, you know, but like, give me one thing to actually do. Probably one thing we do, and I know this is like, you know, this isn't nothing original, but it's something that we love, and it's our marriage journal. So every single Sunday, we sit down and we ask each other, we go through the calendar for the week ahead, get on the same page, when's date night? So we're able to like design the rhythms and the cadence we want our marriage to beat to. So we do that. And then we ask each other 6 questions and it's just getting on the same page. Sometimes it's 20 minutes, sometimes it's an hour, but it's super simple, super basic, but it's one thing we've said as like, okay, every single week we get to reset, recalibrate and redesign the story we're living, right? So that we don't go 3 years down the road and then look back, go, whoa, that got out of control, right? It's a picture of like a big bag of dynamite, you know? And then the fuse is 20 years long. Every single week, every Sunday, we're clipping that fuse with our marriage
journal. That's good.
Clipping the fuse with the like reassessing, defusing the bomb, discussing, connecting. That's one simple thing I would say to start. Just start doing that. It's like, we've been off a little bit. Like, do you want to like maybe just sit down and ask each other these 6 questions.
Like a weekly check-in.
Like a weekly check-in.
Absolutely. We call it our good time to talk about it.
Those questions are great, by the way. Like this, it's 6, right?
Yeah, 6.
Same 6 questions you ask each other every week. And I just, when I first saw that or read that, I thought, man, that is brilliant. It's like so simple, but it's so brilliant as a check-in.
It's attainable, too.
It's attainable.
It's not this like 60 days to a better marriage program. No. It's like, nope, just
you're
6
like,
questions.
You don't have to
fly
repeat.
I know.
And some kind of mountain retreat.
Yeah.
You sit at the dining room table and ask these 6 questions.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, and that's really what keeps a marriage going is regular communication. You
yes,
know?
Exactly.
And I know one of your questions is there any like hidden sin in your life?
Yes.
Any unconfessed sin, unresolved or conflict that we need to resolve? Or seek forgiveness for.
I know, you know, the reason we call this podcast The Naked Marriage is because we're saying we need to be naked in every way, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's because those secrets
that's good
are what really catch us, you know, just like it did Adam and Eve.
Yes.
Way back, the very first married couple.
Yes.
And so like, I love that question when I was hearing you guys talk about it, I think on your podcast, and I was like, that is so good.
It is.
Because I think so many times we let the enemy get a foothold thinking we can't tell our spouse this, we're just going to figure it out, we're going to fix it, or maybe not. Not fix it, but just live with it, you know? And we don't ever really talk about it. Mm-hmm. But we know the healing is when we bring things to light, first to God and then to our spouse if we're married. Mm-hmm. And so I love that. I know there's more questions than that, but that's a huge one because it keeps that secret from festering.
Yes.
And I just think that's so awesome. Mm-hmm. And clearly it's helped your relationship. I know that has helped our relationship. So if you're listening, if there's one thing you guys take away from this, besides getting their awesome book, think about the confession part of marriage. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
And the check-in, the consistency of that check-in.
Yes, and doing it weekly.
Is so
awesome.
Huge. You can constantly, you know, monitor and adjust like we heard.
Monitor
it
and adjust.
And we explore a ton of different, I mean, that's just one thing we explore in the book of like ways to creatively and intentionally pursue and date your spouse. But there's, I mean, everyone can have their own ways and we go through a ton, you know, and the whole creativity chapter and patient pursuit chapter. Like there's a bunch of different ways, but people just got to pick their one way.
I know that you appreciate learning because you're listening to this podcast right now to learn and grow in your marriage, and props to you for that. So I want to give you another opportunity to learn. Our friends at Hillsdale College so believe in equipping our culture with truths related to history, economics, faith, citizenship. They're offering their college-level courses, some of their college-level courses, completely free. I encourage you to check out, to start with, the course on ancient Christianity, which is going to give you a really solid base in understanding what was happening culturally and historically during the early years of the church. It's really, really powerful, and the teaching is world class. You can find out all about it at hillsdale.edu/naked to enroll. And I'm telling you guys, there's no cost. This is free college level education, and it's going to benefit your life. So it's hillsdale.edu/naked to register. Check them out at hillsdale.edu/naked and start learning today. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users, and it has saved its members on average $720 a year with over $500 million in canceled subscriptions. And so how it works, it monitors everything you're spending. It gives you a quick snapshot of where the money's going when it feels like money's flying out the windows like it does at our house sometimes. It helps you identify where it's going, and specifically those ongoing subscriptions. Maybe you signed up for a free trial, forgot to cancel it. Next thing you know, you're being charged $10 a month for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. And it cancels that stuff for you.
And we want to save you money too, because you guys, life is expensive. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/naked. That's rocketmoney.com/NAKED. rocketmoney.com/naked.
Yeah. You know, one thing, a lot of people listening, I know you guys from Little People, Big World. Yeah. And a lot of it, like me included, we are fans mainly of the show. Yeah. I've been watching
Great
the current
show.
Season.
Oh,
oh my gosh. So love it. Okay. I love your family.
I want a birthday party at Roloff Farms.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, you guys, we have never been to Oregon. Like, we're big travelers. Oh. Mm. We want to take our boys. Go. Like, we went out west.
Let us know if you come.
Yeah, they would love
seriously,
it.
Seriously.
Four boys. It's like dream life for them.
No, it really is. And I've never, like my whole childhood, we grew up in Kentucky, both of us. And so we haven't been out that way.
Yeah.
And we have it kind of on our calendar to take the boys out to the Pacific Northwest. So like when I watch your show too, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But you know, tell us what that was like. Like, you know, especially when it comes to your relationship, you know, having that be in front of millions of people. I mean, you got married in front of 2.3 million or more or something.
That's a big wedding.
It's amazing.
Well, Audrey tells this. You want to say what you say in the book?
Yeah. Well, it was a big decision for us. So we actually we're not going to film our wedding. And then we went back and forth on it. It was this whole thing. We talk about the whole story in the book.
It was a big point of conflict. And our entire code of conflict chapter is really based around this decision and all the conflict it caused.
Yeah. It was like the first big decision that we had to make as a married couple. And we joke we had to decide between inviting 200 people to our wedding and 2 million people to our wedding.
It's a big decision.
Yeah.
And friends and family or
the whole world.
Anybody.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for inviting us though.
We really honored, enjoyed attending.
Yeah.
And I love how you unpack this in the book. I mean, this is real life stuff, the way you talk about just the pros and the cons, like the, you know, the sacredness and the intimacy of that moment versus the opportunity to really share your faith with the world in a really unique way.
Oh,
and so
absolutely.
I think it's beautiful how you not only made that decision, but how you share the process of coming to that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks. And it's funny because some people have written off grabbing the book or whatever. It's like, oh, I can't relate to them. They're like celebrities or whatever. It's like, okay, no. Our circumstances might be different, right? But the root problem is the exact same, dealing with conflict. So sure, we're telling the story of how we dealt with this conflict via our circumstances, but everyone has different circumstances.
Yeah.
That'd be like me saying, I can't relate to you because your circumstances aren't quite as quote unquote huge.
Yeah.
It's like, no, of course I can relate to you and learn from you. So, but
how's that affected you guys, like in your relationship?
Here's the thing I will say, the show was awesome. It was so fun. I mean, it got to the point where it's been on for 15 years and it's like, that's a long time to do anything. So, we got married and Audrey was never, our relationship really never was on
our
the show
dating
because
we
were doing long distance and we were in different states. And so we like to say this is the story that was never told. And it's a story that also includes one of our largest passions. It's going back to the beginning of this conversation is to turn the hearts and souls of people toward Christ. We do that via many ways. That's kind of our passion. And so we do that kind of exploring our story and telling our story through this book. And it's a story that was never told. So it's kind of fun. All that to be said, it's difficult. I don't think growing up in the public eye is normal and should be normal for anyone. Some are called to the space, but they're in a war zone, like a hot war zone. And so, we definitely had to just be, it kind of trained us to talk and be open and just be honest with one another, really.
You guys used it to make you stronger. And the way that you kind of share that whole journey and how, you guys weren't looking for the spotlight. The spotlight was looking for you.
That's the truth.
And I just talking through kind of the tension that creates while also the opportunity that creates and how to be a good steward of that influence. I think you guys are not only walking that path so wisely, but the way that you are sharing that journey and just being real about some of the conversations that were happening behind the scenes. It really invites people into your story in a way that I think can help all of us in relationships because there are some brilliant principles like you were saying, that are universally applicable, whether you're talking about, you know, a TV show, a conflict related to that, or a conflict related to, you know, something completely different. Conflict is conflict. And the way to work through it has some very, very universal principles.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. That's really well said, too. But thanks for that encouragement.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, too. Like, everyone, like, the point of marriage isn't marriage itself, right?
Right.
So everyone is on this mission.
Exactly.
Sure, we, like, you guys have a podcast. That's a circumstance some don't have. Like, we had a TV show. That's a circumstance some doesn't have. But, like, you're going to job, you're going to your job doing whatever. That's your circumstance. And, like, we can all be on mission doing really cool. So I just want to encourage everyone.
Yes,
like, you
absolutely.
Don't need to go back to the Instagram comment, like, buy the, rent the canoe and get the photo in front of the waterfall to, like, have a good day. It's like, just do it. Just, like, make that decision. So
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. So when it comes, I know we've touched on conflict a little bit and, you know, just how a lot, sometimes, you know, in growing up in the public eye, there was conflict in front of the public eye. And I know your relationship, like your dating relationship hasn't necessarily been in the public eye, but the season that I'm currently watching, which I don't know what season it is.
Yeah, I don't
know. You guys are on
there. I don't know either.
I mean, you're on there.
Are we? Oh, cool.
Yeah, the one I'm watching, it's like with your brother and his wife and...
You just went to the beach.
You just...
It's not like the current season.
So it's reruns.
Yeah.
Maybe it's reruns.
I'm sorry, we're watching reruns.
I'm watching.
There's also a current season.
We're usually a few years behind. Just in general.
With our boy, I catch up at night. It probably is reruns. Well, anyway, maybe it was a season ago.
That's awesome.
But, you know, so you've had some that are kind of out in the public eye. But, you know, in general, I know, you know, you have just the regular conflict like any other couple. How do you guys handle conflict on a regular basis?
Yeah, Jeremy always does this. He, like, in podcasts, he talks. Then the hard question comes. How do you handle conflict?
No.
Babe? I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, here we go.
Let's pass this to you.
Yeah. Here's a real scenario. So Ember is trying to decide between running cross country like her mom or
something else. We talked about this in a podcast before.
And, oh my goodness. How do you deal?
We have a chapter in our book. It's called Our Code of Conflict.
This isn't a hard question.
Basically, like, you know, our premarital counselors had this, like, they impressed on us this idea of, like, okay, if you're going to have conflict, everyone's going to have conflict. It's inevitable. It's a matter of, does conflict escalate into a fight? And if it does, how do we fight fair? Or how do we, what boundaries do we have to put, can we put around conflict to prevent it from escalating into fights or to fight fair? And so we have just like some rules for engagement basically of like, you know, and we're not, it's not a perfect thing. Like we're still flushing it out constantly, but there were some things that were hard no's for us when we were in that premarital counseling phase of like, okay, if we do get in conflict, like we're going to try not to use, you know, words like always and never because they're always never true. And we're going to try to, you know, we're never going to sleep in opposite rooms or opposite beds. And we're never going to, you know, leave and you know, that's different than like taking a step away from the conversation. But they're rule and they're all listed out in our book. But just kind of like our rules for engagement how to turn conflict into an opportunity for learning more about each other and understanding each other more and an opportunity for growth.
Yeah.
As opposed to an opportunity to prove our point or be right. So
So the code of conflict is really to protect the process. You know, because it's like, what's the goal here? You know, is the goal to stop fighting? So does conflict, what is the more likely scenario? Does conflict prove your incompatibility or does it prove the sharpening of yourself to become a better person?
Right.
Like, which one are we going for here? Like, and I would argue it's probably they're road signs. Conflict is just road signs of the collision of two people coming together. There's conflict there. Like, that's an explosion. And so how we deal with that is conflict. So we better learn to deal with it well. Like, you should have a code of conflict or a way of engaging in this process that you're never going to get away from.
Yeah.
Man, that's good.
I like that. How do you guys handle conflict?
We were hoping you had the answer.
Yeah, yeah. All the answers.
This is it.
Because we always want to learn, and you guys are like in the same space, you guys have four kids. So, like, how do you handle conflict around your kids?
Definitely. That's probably been like the main point of conflict, really. I mean, because we agree, like we get along,
chill. The main point of conflict being like, how do you handle it around your kids? Yeah. Like deciding how
that's
to.
Hilarious.
No, like our kids themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, their ages 14, 12, 7, and 4. Yeah.
So like there's a big split there. But yeah. No, I mean, it gets, you know, we love our boys, but it is like all hands on deck all the time.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. early in those child-rearing years, a lot of our conflict was around how to handle situations with our kids mm-hmm. and getting on the same page on how to parent our kids.
Yes.
And so we saw those signs because we started having a little bit, like we're not big fighters. Like we're not like, you know, mm-hmm. oh, I'm ready for a fight.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
you know how, that's just not us. Like we really like things to be calm,
yeah.
But not at the sake of not
comedy,
talking
not drama
about
that's
something.
Our-
yeah, comedy, not drama. That's right.
That's great.
That's right. But you know, we were both feeling a little bit of just feeling misunderstood and having a little bit of resentment. Mm-hmm. And Dave came to me and he was just like, listen, we just keep, this is one point that we keep on butting heads on. And yeah. he's like, we need to change how we're handling this because I can tell it's just going to build up more resentment and maybe cause more fights. Mm-hmm. And he said, I have this idea. Let's get a mentor couple, like a couple at church that's ahead of us. Mm-hmm. You know, we admired them as yes. a married couple. We like the relationship they have with their kids. They're not perfect, but we would like to have, you know, a family dynamic like theirs.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's awesome. But like, nobody's going to want to talk to us like that. Like they're so busy, mm-hmm. you know, and I made excuses and he said, sweetie, you can't make excuses for people. Mm-hmm. Just let's ask them. Mm-hmm. So we prayed yeah. about it. We asked them and they were honored, came over.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Huge help to us because, awesome. You know, they're not related to us. So they could look and mm-hmm. just kind of not take sides and look at the situation. Gave us a lot of stuff to think about. And we've done that over the years. But when it comes to just daily little conflicts, we are definitely of the belief that you need to handle it sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
And if you can't Amen. Talk to each other nicely, when you were talking about Audrey stepping away, I know what you meant is like, take a breather for a minute. Right. So you're not going to be shouting at each other or being mean, you know?
Yes, totally.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I totally think that's
healthy.
We
deal with it quickly, speak the truth in love. Yeah. We have what we call the secret-free guarantee where it's, you know, kind of like you guys with just constantly monitoring and going back and asking those questions.
Right.
We're constantly bringing stuff out without, we don't hit the snooze button on anything. Early on, that was a mistake we made. I think we would kind of hit the snooze button on things. And then
work out magically.
Yeah.
But we just try to keep learning from those, from other people, you know, and then stealing that wisdom.
Totally.
God hasn't called us to always be original. He's called us to be wise.
Yeah.
And wisdom is not unique certainly not unique to us. It's been around for thousands of years, and I want to find people who are living it and then ask them and learn from them. And like you guys are doing in so many ways with conflict and with just a lot of aspects of your relationship as we're preparing to land the plane, so to speak. Mm-hmm. I know you guys got a busy schedule. Mm-hmm.
So fun. But
we could talk to you for days. But just to kind of like
I'm sure.
bring it. We can make a fire right here,
man.
Let's
do it.
And we are with you.
Around the campfire.
You're saying how much you love fire. Oh my goodness. I love that.
So you can have fires in Texas. That's okay.
You can. Things are so
there's
dry
no
in Texas.
There's no warning like dry, like forest fire warning. Well, there's no burn.
There's no forest to catch on fire.
That's true. Right. So yeah, we can have fire pits for sure.
So I guess maybe a final question to kind of bring it back to the book, which is I'll just say go buy this book, guys. I've read most of it. I haven't finished it yet, but A Love Letter Life is great. It's now a bestseller. Like anywhere you can be a bestseller, New York Times, Publishers Weekly, USA Today, Amazon. If the moon has a bestsellers list, this book is on the moon. And it's deserving of that. It really is a great book.
Thank you.
You were welcome.
Seriously, that means a lot.
Well, it means a lot that you'd be here.
Oh my gosh. So silly.
How can the couples listen and they're like, that sounds great.
Yeah.
But how can we have a love letter life? And I would say, you know, read the book and you'll find out. But this is something, what you're talking about in the book and what we talk about on The Naked Marriage, it's something that's not just attainable for like this elite few. These are the things God wants for every couple. Every couple. It's going to look different in the context of every relationship.
Right.
But every couple can thrive. Every couple can be best friends.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening and you think this just isn't for me, it's for you.
Mm.
And so maybe what's one or two final nuggets of encouragement to that couple that's listening and they just think, nobody in my family's ever had that.
Yeah.
I don't even know if this is possible in my marriage. Mm. What's one or two things? 'Cause I love how you say, you know, start with one or two things that you would kind of give them to say, start here and you might be amazed where things lead.
Well, the first thing that just comes to mind, and you know, God loves us creatively, intentionally, and faithfully. And the subtitle of our book is Pursue Creatively, Date Intentionally, Love Faithfully. And so if marriage is one of the greatest representations of the gospel, then wouldn't we want to love in those same ways? And so I think no matter where you're at in your love story, whether you're single, dating, engaged, or married for a long time, we can all have a creative, intentional, and faithful love. Everyone kind of wants that, even no matter what kind of faith background you are, you know, right. like people yeah. want that. And so going back to the Mary Pickard quote, like at any point you choose, you can choose that. You can take those little steps. And obviously there's a lot of practical ones in the book that we talk about. But one of the things Jeremy always says, maybe I'll just let you say it, the live in the love story thing. Do you want to say that? No, oh, okay. I was going to give you a space to say it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the idea is like, to your point, Dave, like, yeah, like this is, you know, people want that one thing. Mm-hmm. They want to be told it, but like you have to actually want it. We chase the desires of our heart. Mm-hmm. So the question we ask in the book is, what is the love story that you would want read back to you one day? Do that.
Yeah.
Like just do that, right? So if you want your love story to be read back to you of like, yes, Netflix and chill every day, all the TV shows, it's like, that's what's going to be read back to you. We're going to have our life song played. We're going to be held account for all of our actions. Okay. We're going to have our love story read back to us. Mm-hmm. That's where we should be crafting mm-hmm. our love story. And every single one's going to be unique. So whether yours is watching TV show, like fine, you know, but like, or whatever it is, like everyone, you have to want it. And we chase the desires of our heart. And so, mm-hmm. you know, if our hearts are after the Lord's, right? Like we are a wellspring of creativity and intentionality.
And that's good.
We're a wellspring.
We are, you're right.
We just have to learn how to access it. And that access comes from just deciding like, you know what? I'm going to do something intentional today for my wife. Mm-hmm. And I think I might make it creative. And then like you go do like the smallest
and
little thing.
And then I might maybe repeat it and make
and
it faithful.
Yeah. And you don't, you know, like, and you don't build a castle in one day. Like you don't wake up and run the Boston Marathon. It takes years of training and nothing worth having happens overnight, right? It's a process. Mm-hmm. And so nobody wants to hear it, but that's the truth.
It is the truth.
That is
so good
stuff, man. Yeah.
So good.
I wish those are like drop the mic statements you guys keep making. I would invite you to drop these mics, but they're very expensive. They're very, we can't replace
them. We
won't
them. Do that. Yeah.
But such
thanks
good stuff.
For the encouragement.
And so just as a next, sweetie, any final words? You're the wisest and loveliest
love
of women.
Well, I was just going to say, thank you, sweetie. I was just going to say how wise you guys are to be so young and so wise. And I love that. And
praise
I think that that's so encouraging to our listeners, you know. Mm. And I love how you said, you know, you can do this at any point.
Any point.
You can start, you know, today being intentional. You can start today writing those love letters. You can start writing those sticky notes. Start with a sticky note, you know. Because I think it is like we try to imagine doing everything at once, but really it's just
too
that
much.
One little step.
Yeah.
And so I hope, I know there's so many good nuggets they're taking away today, but how can listeners get this book in their hands?
Well, the book's available anywhere books are sold. And if you want to check out, or if you want to read about the book specifically, you can just go to aloveletterlife.com. But if you want to check out all the things we're up to, find us on social and check out the podcast, all those, you can just go to theroloffs.com. And that's where we're at. So
awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Well, guys,
so fun.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Hey, anytime. Seriously, okay. If you're in town,
you
come
guys
by.
Need to come to Oregon next. Real fire.
Yes.
We're doing a real
fire.
in Oregon.
That's right.
No, I can't wait. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you again to the Roloffs. You can again find them at the R-O-L-O-F-F-S, theroloffs.com. Thank you to Zondervan for providing the books that we got to read in advance. Yeah. Just a wonderful book. Thank you to our producer, Brittany Wilcox, our sound engineer, Jordan Kennedy.
They're
the
awesome.
Team, the best in the world at what they do. I mean, the best.
Boom.
And the whole team here at Marriage Today. Guys, thanks for listening to the Naked Marriage Podcast. We'll look forward to seeing you next time.
Bye, guys.